at this time, Brother Brandon Powell.
All right, let us all say amen. If I were a outsider looking in, meaning I was not of the body of Christ, I would get the understanding of what Jesus said in that scripture when he said, they will know you by the love that you have one toward another. And so that speaks louder than anyone who can quote the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. The demonstration of love, fellowship that you all had displayed was very, very powerful. And so I'm not just saying that because me and the great leader are good friends, Minister Lopez, but you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. And I'm definitely appreciative of that. Appreciative of the leadership of this great congregation as a whole. I really am impressed at how organized you all are, and how things are just flowed so well. And so with that being said, I would invite your attention to the passage of Genesis chapter 29, starting at verse number 15. Again, we bring greetings from Dallas, Fort Worth area in Texas at Cedar Crest Church of Christ. And Minister Lopez didn't know this. I didn't share this with him, but right around the same time that we were making arrangements for me to be here, my minister and friend here in Dallas also had reached out, and that's how I ended up filling in services for this morning. But he was also inquiring if I would cover both services, and I said, well, if you don't mind, I've got an arrangement already with Maywood because of the fellowship and the loyalty that I have with you all. So it was nothing for me to make sure that I could still be here, because he sure enough was like, hey, can you cover both? I said, I can only cover one. I've got arrangement to be with this great congregation, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to fellowship with you all. And so and I've been watching y'all on Zoom, so it looks like y'all came to worship. Even though you hadn't gone anywhere, it looks like you came mentally and spiritually and emotionally to worship. And if we have the scripture, thankful for those that already read. We will go ahead and read it one more time just for the sake of emphasis. Genesis chapter 29, starting at verse number 15. The Bible says, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother or relative, as some translations will say, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. This is a very interesting and intriguing narrative. I am extremely convinced that in a day where we are so, you know, impressed with the TV series that we watch and the movies that we watch, I mean, now, one thing that the quarantine and COVID has taught us is that we have a lot of time on our hands to just sit around and watch catch up on a lot of TV series, like on Netflix and Hulu and all these different platforms. But I am convinced that there is not a better movie, narrative, TV series in the world better than the scriptures. You know, Siskel and Ebert, they would give it two thumbs up. But even if they didn't, I believe that the scripture has everything under the sun. I mean, it's got drama. You got family feuds. I mean, you got cousins, you know, fighting. I mean, all of the things under the sun are in the scripture. So many lessons to be learned. And I say that to say that it's so much more than just ink on a page. There is so many things taking place. And this is just one of the narratives that we will visit on this morning. And for those that are taking notes, we're using this scripture and a subject entitled Tunnel Vision. Tunnel Vision. With the theme of avoiding the dangers of taking good things out of priority with God. So as I looked over this particular passage, some of the things that stood out to me was the idea of deception and a little bit of free labor. This being in the context of Laban, the uncle, and Jacob, the nephew. Looking first at the family negotiations, again, look with me for a moment and rest your attention on this seemingly innocent moment between an uncle and his nephew, where the Bible says in verse number 15, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother or relative, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Now, here we are today looking at what seems to be on the surface a harmless conversation between an uncle and his nephew. Yet Jacob, need I remind us, you know, this is kind of like you jumping into a TV series and you don't watch the first episode. You know, you jump straight into the fifth, sixth episode. You might have missed some stuff. Well, I've got news for you. If you come into this part of the scene, you miss some stuff. You've got to go back and watch episode number one. Well, what was going on? What had just gone on in the previous episode? You know, nowadays we have the benefit of DVRing and recording stuff, so we can go back and watch and see what happened just a few chapters ago. Jacob, just a few days ago, he was just removed from stealing from his brother, plotting with his mother, and misleading his father. And in this part of the section of the chapter, we're looking at it saying, wow, this looks so, you know, amazing. He's meeting up with his uncle and things are looking well. Well, it didn't look like that the previous chapters. It was full of turmoil and deception. All of a sudden, after Jacob leaves his home, and he what's interesting about it was so bad that Jacob didn't even have the privilege and the opportunity to visit his own father's funeral. See, the scripture goes right past all that because the Bible implies that Isaac was on his deathbed. That's usually when the forefathers were about to die, they would let it be known, here's where I want to be buried, and here's where I'll extend the final blessings. I know my time is coming. And during that process, all of that drama was going on. And that is probably one of the worst times for things to happen. I mean, you imagine, I haven't been to all y'all homes, but I can imagine if your family is like mine, we have some challenges sometimes. And sometimes we, you know, I went to college, but sometimes we can act a little ignorant. You know, I did go to school, so I know the right words, but sometimes we can act up a little bit. And the worst time to act that way is when grandpa or grandma is in the hospital on life support, and we up here arguing about who gonna get what and what should be done. And here it is, Isaac barely can see. That's how he got deceived in the first place. And Jacob leaves and runs away, can't even go to his own father's funeral. Why can't he go to his own father's funeral? Guess why? Because had he shown back up, there would have been two funerals. One for Isaac and one for Jacob, because Esau, now the Bible says that Esau was a hunter, but he would have turned into an assassin because he planned on killing his own brother. And so you see the dramatic situation that's going on. But as he leaves that, Jacob runs away, and all of a sudden, as he leaves, he finds himself in a position where he's going to worship. Mark, for reference in your private study, in chapters 28, verses 16 through 22, you'll find that as he leaves, he stumbles upon an opportunity to worship God. Then not long after that, he meets a woman who happens to be Rachel. So from chapter 28 to 29 in the earlier parts of the text in verse number 9 through 13. He goes, in other words, he goes to church, then he meets a woman. Oh, life must be better now for him. He must have forgot he just left some drama. You know, sometimes we want to, if we're living in, let's say you're living in Florida and you say, I got to get up out of here. And you move all the way to California. You say, you know what? Life is good now. Well, guess what? Your problems may not be in the same proximity, but they will catch up to you. And so Jacob, he thinks, you know, I had my little worship. And good Lord, I done found me a new companion. And so he assumes that things are going to be well after this. And as a matter of fact, he thinks that things are going to be perfect after that. Here's a question that I have for us is when's the last time you tried to worship away your mistakes? When's the last time you tried to worship your mistakes? And of course, I'm using the example of going to church and then finding a companion. And as someone has so eloquently put, they translated the 2020 translation, which is getting booed up, thinking that that's going to solve your problems. How many times have we tried to worship away our mistakes? Did finding a new companion in your life really fix your problems? Some would say they compounded the problems. Or did it just help it make it easier to ignore them? For Jacob, things could not have been any better by the time he knocks on Laban's door. He comes into a land of Haran, and he found hospitality instead of hostility. He left a hostile environment, and he pulls up to Laban's home, his uncle, his sweet uncle, as he would assume. And finds hospitality. And then not only that, to put the cherry on top, he finds a beautiful companion and love from his extended family. And yet, as the saying goes, everything that glitters is not gold. and then the other saying is, if it seems too good to be true, then it probably is. See, sometimes in life, we are drawn to anything that will make us forget about the trauma in our past. Sometimes if you've been in the desert too long, so long, you'll get excited when you see a drop of water. See, he left a hostile environment. And so he was not going to be critical in his thought process. He says, look, I found they treating me better than my own house right now. Oh, things are well. Then I found someone that I can probably have companionship with. Oh, it can't get any better than this. In his mind, he was escaping the trauma in his past. Question I'm having for us today is, what have you tried to forget about lately? What is that item that keeps springing up in our lives and we press it down to make sure it doesn't bubble up too soon or too often? What is it that we are continually trying to drive and get away from to make sure it stays in our rear view? Like Jacob. Jacob was leaving and he thought that he was escaping. But see, just because you leave something doesn't mean you escape it. And so, listen, by the time Jacob meets up with Laban, his uncle, he would have done anything to subside the guilt and the shame that came from his recent decisions. But see, the thing I think about here is one of the things that should have stood out to him is that he was leaving one deceptive parent and going to another deceptive relative. Because now I'm not picking on Rebecca. She had her faults too, but Jacob went through with it. Rebecca being Jacob's mother. Whose side of the family, and I'm asking this rhetorically, whose side of the family is Laban on? It's on the mama's side. Now I'm not saying that
Now, for those that are married, don't assume that everybody on the same side of the family act the same way. So that means if you got an uncle that steals every time you come to the family reunion, that don't mean everybody on your side of the family that's stealing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if Rebecca was willing to deceive her own husband and she sends you away to spend time with her brother, that's her brother. Why are we acting surprised that Laban is a little deceptive too? They family. Laban may have taught her how to do that. So that ought to have been suspicious to begin with. But nonetheless, Jacob, he was just trying to find an escape. He was trying to leave and get away from the reminder of his past mistakes. There may be somebody here today on this Zoom call who has been wounded by their past mistakes, and they look for validation in all of the wrong places. And sometimes what happens is the trauma of our past and the mistakes can blind us from seeing when we're being taken advantage of. Oh, yeah. And see, sometimes people can tell that you're desperate. They can tell that you're in need and you're not negotiating from a position of strength. And so they can take advantage of you. But guess what? Jacob just got through deceiving his own brother and his own father. And so it doesn't surprise me that a deceiver can get deceived. And so he didn't catch on to it. I got news for you. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you can tell that you're being deceived, guess what? You're not being deceived. Deception is something that you find out about later. Now, you may can catch it before it takes place, but usually good deception, you're not aware of. That's what deception is. And so for Jacob, he didn't realize what he was getting himself into. He lowered his guard because it was family, because it was his uncle. And so I've got a relative on other side of the family through other relationships that I've seen on my mom's side, where a niece was sold the car by an uncle. And the uncle knew that car was broke down. I mean, it didn't work for nothing. But it was a nice brand of a model, a Lexus, or a nice model, we'll say. And so the niece didn't know, not knowing any better, paid good money for the vehicle. And before you know it, I don't know if she even was able to get 3 tanks of gas before that thing broke down. And that's family where it's taking place. So we understand that sometimes you can be deceived because you assume that, oh no, not family. Oh no, not auntie, not uncle, no. I know you're not going to do that. Now, y'all being way out there in Chicago area and in the Lord, I know y'all don't have these kind of problems. But way over here in Texas, we got family that can do you a little dirty sometimes. But you can be blinded by the trauma, and you're just trying to escape, and you'll hold on to whatever seems like it's hope, and not knowing that you might be getting taken advantage of. And one of the worst feelings in the world is when you're being hustled by your own family. See, I'm here to let you know that while family is important, never confuse biology with spirituality. See, I'm not saying don't go to no more family reunions and no more barbecues. I'm just saying, let's be real. Before we had to socially distance because of the COVID, some folk that we showed up to the family reunion with and the barbecue with, we wouldn't let them get too close to us, because if they hug us, we may look in our pocket and say, hold on, I knew I brought my wallet. What happened? Because some of them folk you got to socially distance from, because they may be your family, but they get what they call it, sticky fingers sometimes. And we understand that that's biology. And we are not to assume, see, I would be lying to you today if I told you that everybody in my biological family is good Christians. Folk that go to church every Sunday. No, that's not the case. And guess what? I imagine that some of you can relate to some of our own family, the people that we call uncle and auntie and cousin. Some of them folks, we hear they coming over. We know we have to make adjustments. We're not staying the whole time. We looking for our kids. We looking for our keys, and we looking to make sure where we park. And we say, look, I'm going to go ahead and fix a plate to go. But you just got here. No. I see so-and-so just got here. We got to go. We'll send you a postcard in the mail. Because biology is not the same thing as spirituality. And so for Laban, he was that uncle that'll sell you that broke down car. He was that uncle that would tell you something and he'd be embellishing on how good it is and not be bothered by the fact. And so I'm here to let you know there is a difference. Not only that, Jacob found something that he wanted, and with little resources and no stability and all that emotional baggage and the checkered past that he had, he was still creative enough to find a solution. So in other words, he had all this stuff going on, but he was still able to figure out how to navigate to the next phase of his life. And I say, you know what? Even with us, God is looking at us and how we behave. And we get into these traumatic situations and we reaching out to everybody else besides God. God is looking at us to say, okay, you got all this time and energy to serve everything and anything else besides me. That's interesting. God says, why aren't you seeking me like you're seeking that next promotion on your job? Where all that energy come from? He said, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. You know, I don't know. You know, nowadays, you know, it's not like we have to get dressed and drive somewhere. He said, oh my Lord, I'm so tired. Tired from what? Oh, I've been doing all this praying. You ain't been praying. You know, don't nobody get that tired from praying. He said, but I've been meditating. Okay, that's fine. You know, at this point, there are some things in our lives that you know yourself, that if certain games are coming on, certain friends are coming over, all of a sudden we have much more energy. Say, where all that energy come from? Would you take a Red Bull or something? You know, what's that 5-hour energy drink? Why are you all of a sudden we have all this energy? Where is it coming from? But when it comes time to serve God, oh my goodness, I'm yawning. My back hurt, my knee hurt. Hold on now. Didn't you just get through playing a whole sporting event? What, your back wasn't hurting then? Your knee wasn't hurting then? You know, all of a sudden we have energy. God is looking at that. And he says, how is it that you have all of this energy and initiative to serve everything else besides me? God says, why aren't you seeking me like you're seeking those other things? Why aren't you seeking me like that person that you're looking for companionship with? In fact, if you sought me first, I might have made arrangements for you. But since you want, now this reminds me of how I grew up. You know, they're saying, when you're dealing with the parents, some of y'all know what I'm about to say. They say, you want to be grown? Okay. They say, go on. You want to be grown? God has to tell us sometimes, you got it figured out? Oh, you know what? You got it. I only created the world. I only created the oxygen that you're breathing right now. But you know what? You can figure it out. And God has to let us know that sometimes your quickest path to what you want isn't the straight pathway that you think. Sometimes to get what you want, you're better off taking the path that leads to Jesus. And you'll find yourself getting to your destination, even though you thought that you can take a shorter path the way that you wanted to. God says, look, why are you seeking all these other things instead of me? Why is it that your physical body is in better shape than your spiritual body? God says, I want to have that same creative faith in me and serving my will. That means when it comes to seeking me, when you're lost on the road of life, know that I'm better than the GPS. I don't care if you got the nicest car and it's built into your front dashboard. I'm better than the GPS. I'm better than all the apps that you can use to navigate this life. I'm better than them. I don't run out of life and batteries. I'm better than them. When it seems like the forecast of life is showing nothing but dark days ahead, know that Jesus controls the Weather Channel. Now, I'm not, Brother Powell's not saying don't look at the Weather Channel no more. Keep looking at the Weather Channel. Look at them all you want. But understand, there's a second forecast to see. After the man comes on and says, you know what, the days are looking dark ahead, know that Jesus still has a second opinion about it. Yeah, they may give you percentages on when it's going to rain, but Jesus has the percentages because he controls the Weather Channel. He's the best meteorologist the world can know. And so Jesus is the best solution that we can pursue. For he is my counselor, my physician, and my lawyer, pleading my case before the Father. And if there's anybody that deserves my attention, it's the Lord. We serve a God who deserves to be first in all things. And when we shift our focus onto those other things, we can fall into tunnel vision. And while Jacob could see clearly what he wanted in Rachel, he missed all of the warning signs that God was trying to show him. You see, sometimes in life, we can get so focused and drawn into what we want that we don't even see the things that are passing us right by. You realize that's what they do to horses. When they want them to race and stay focused, they put blinders on them. Now, in a horse's case, that works in their favor. But the enemy, you got to be careful who's putting those blinders on you. Is it Jesus or is it the enemy? Because there may be some things that would have slowed you down in your tracks had you just seen it, had you just been paying attention. In other words, sometimes we get into tunnel vision. And then finally, looking at the fact that sometimes there's things that are too good to be true, looking at Jacob's agreement. Listen again to the words of Uncle Laban. After Jacob stated his terms. Now, one thing I want to say about this is that look at how he opened up the contract. He says, look, what would your wages be? You got to be careful when you do stuff like that. Laban probably would have let the terms be negotiated. So, you know what? You know, you can work for me for 1 year. But see, you got to be careful. If you get too much in tunnel vision and you get taken advantage of, you say things like, oh, I work for you for 7 years. And Laban may have said, you know what? I'm good with 1 year. And he say, oh, you work for me 7? Guess what? Laban's not going to bring up, oh, well, you know, you don't have to do 7, just do 1. And if we be honest, if anybody approached you with a business deal and say, you know what? I'm selling this new brand new Lexus. And it's worth $80,000. But how much do you have? And they may have been willing to let it go for a cheaper price. But if you name a higher price, they're not going to bring it down. They might as well put duct tape over their mouth. They're not saying a word. Because they say, you know what? Oh, that seems reasonable. Of course it seems reasonable. Because they didn't have that number in mind in the first place. Sometimes our desperation can lead to us making decisions based on tunnel vision, and we'll be taken advantage of. Listen again at the words in verse 19. And the Bible says, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. You don't think Laban realized that his nephew had the googly eyes for his daughter? He could see it. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of this young man. Us as adults, there's sometimes things that you can see going on in those situations. You can tell when you have an advantage. And Laban took advantage of that moment. The story goes on to reveal that Laban had no intention of giving his younger daughter to Jacob without first marrying Leah, his oldest daughter. You see, the worst thing that Satan can do to you is take advantage of your desires and have you thinking that it's a blessing. That's one of the worst things he can do, is that you walk down a pathway looking for the Lord, and really you find yourself running into a Laban. You go down a pathway looking for the Lord, and you find yourself bumping into a Laban, and you assume it's the same path. No, you got diverted. because of tunnel vision. And all not all of the not all of the distraction of life will be obvious to us. Again, that's the point of deception. Someone may be here today on this call, and you may be in the middle of a 7-year sentence. And see, the original vision you had in your mind when you started your journey has left you feeling used and abused. I know that because if you read further in the narrative later on down the line, Jacob and his family ended up leaving Laban. Because what the enemy does not tell you is that sometimes they'll keep changing the terms of the contract and you won't know it. Laban had no intention for him leaving, especially after he started seeing that his presence started producing for him. He said, oh, no, we can't have you leave. We're going to make up some more rules and reasons why you need to stay. But you can tell that Jacob realized eventually he's been using me. He's been taking advantage of me. But he didn't see it before because he had tunnel vision. The enemy can do that to us. There are too many of us that reach different times in our lives where we've made deals with Satan and the enemy. And we would have avoided it if we had only read the fine print. Some of y'all have done business in your life, buying a car, buying a house, buying a business, buying something, a major appliance. Sit down with somebody that's smiling, you know, making you feel good, giving you the good water, giving you alkaline water, giving you tea with sugar, not unsweet tea. Because, you know, we don't drink unsweet tea. They making you feel comfortable. And they say, here go the contract. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's pretty much got everything we discussed in it. Here's the pen. Here, go ahead and sign for me right here. And they give it to you. If you got tunnel vision, you'll be enamored with the moment. They say, you know what? Thank you so much. I'll go ahead and sign. And you fail to read the fine print. When you look at things and analyze them and be more composed and not allow the guilt and the desperation take hold, you can say things like, look, I know what a signature part is. I see that little line. Let me read for a second. And sometimes we can avoid tragedy in our lives if we just pay closer attention and not assume that everything is going to work out just because it appears to be the case. See, the original vision in our minds may not always match the outcome that comes about. And again, there's too many times where this happens. We just needed to read the fine print before we signed that dotted line. Some of us have been so damaged by our past mistakes that any deal that comes along, we assume it's good for us. We're just happy if anything comes. Again, if you've been in the desert long enough, somebody can come by and give you anything and call it water, and you'll take it. Sometimes we have to be reminded of the fact that our desperation doesn't change our priority. God still deserves to be first, because whether you're on the top of the mountain or in the valley, God is still the same. And we have to be careful who we put our trust in. God is saying, look, you can put your trust in me. And I'm here to let you know that Jesus is here today, and I'm so thankful that his deals, Jesus' deals, they don't come with fine print. In fact, he already took care of the negotiations. He said, Brother Powell, what are you talking about? I'm saying the terms in the contract were based on his life for your redemption. Redemption from your past mistakes. He can free you from their tunnel vision. The question is, will you accept his terms? In closing, sometimes the enemy will lure us with something we're drawn to. All the while, we're missing the big picture of everything else that's taking place. What has drawn your attention away from God lately? What has that been? Jesus is here to set you free from your mental, emotional, and spiritual prison that you've been held in for far too long. Again, I say, some of us are serving a 7-year sentence right now because we reached out for something and we didn't realize it turned out to be much more dangerous than we thought. We went on a pathway when we thought we saw the Lord, but we bumped into a Laban is what happened. And before we know it, we've gotten enwrapped and entangled in a situation that we can't get out of. I've got news for you. There's no contract that the Lord can't get you out of, because his contract supersedes any other contracts. I've got news for you. You don't have to feel continually beaten down and guilty and shameful because of your past mistakes. How many times have you looked up at your situation and realized you never would have made such a decision if you had only known that you were being taken advantage of? I want to encourage you today to know that Jesus will never take advantage of your heart, and he will never steer you in the wrong direction. Aren't you tired of trying to figure out things on your own? Don't you want to remove some of the baggage that you have been carrying around in your own life? It's time to give it to Jesus. He died on the cross so that you and I can have the freedom in Christ. Someone says, well, how do I get that freedom? Well, as you already know, most of us on this call, we had to listen to the word of God. We had to listen to the word of God and hear it with all of our heart. Listen and believe that word of God and be willing to repent, which means to change our minds in order for God to change our hearts. Confess the sweetest name upon mortal tongue, that is, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then last, be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Or maybe you're on this call today and you realize, look, I've been taken advantage of in my life, and I don't want to have that happen to me. But see, the lesson isn't just about you being taken advantage of. The lesson is both ways. Is that stop deceiving people so that you don't continue to be deceived along the way. Sometimes we have to realize the things that we've done and how it may perpetuate in other situations. And to be honest, Jacob couldn't really be that upset with Laban, because he had just done something similar in his own past. And so I'm here to let you know today that regardless of the situation, whether you're taking advantage of someone or you've been taken advantage of, bring it to Jesus. He's got a new contract for you. You say, well, I've already been in contract with Jesus. I've been serving him. I've just made some mistakes. Well, I'm so thankful that Jesus allows some amendments, an addendum to be added. That addendum is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that his pen never runs out of ink. And that ink you won't find on Amazon, that ink is made of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he'll continue to pardon you if you only come to him. And let it be known that, look, I need you, Lord. I'm a child of yours. I've made some mistakes and I want to get better. I want to be more clear about my priorities. And then if you're not a child of God, we're asking you, we're begging, we're pleading with you to put away all those other old contracts, because I can tell you this, you won't find a better lawyer that'll fight your case. See, the unique thing about Jesus is that he is the best defense attorney there is. But what makes him unique is that while you're in that courtroom, he's your defense attorney and your judge. And so while he's fighting the case, he's talking to himself. He said, you know what? Jesus as himself, I want to plead with the Father. But guess what? He's God himself. And so it's working out in your favor. The trial is already fixed for you to be justified. He just asks you to come to him and obey his gospel. Whatever your desire may be, whether it be prayer or to make it known that you want to be baptized, let your heart's desire be known as we prepare to transition for the invitation.